Welcome to Building Better Relationships at Home and at Work with Angela and Patty podcast. This is Patty, a leadership and work-life balance coach from Arizona, USA.
And this is Angela, love and relationship coach from Sydney, Australia. And we are building better relationships with you.
Sharing new perspectives on being heart-centered at home and at work.
So you can draw on your inner power to make your relationships and the world a better place to be around.
The Building Better Relationships Journal and Meditation. We created the Building Better Relationships Journal and Meditation so you can magnetize the better relationships you want and focus on the positive role that you have in creating a better life through your relationships. We are excited for you to discover the gold within you that can help you manifest the love we all crave. The Building Better Relationships Journal has coaching questions that help you listen to the truth of what you want and what helps you to be empowered in love. The Building Better Relationships meditation is designed to strengthen your heart's ability to be that change you wish to see in the world. Why not download it now and think of it as a gift to those you love? If you love journaling and meditation, this is for you. In this podcast episode, we will have Janice Rice.
Janice fell in love with finance and graduated from Indiana Wesleyan in 2014 with her bachelor's degree in accountancy. Now she's been in the accounting industry for over 20 years and has worked directly for small business owners, corporations, and consulting firms.
Working for a CPA firm opened her eyes to what little support there is for small businesses. That inspired her to start Yang Consulting, a remote B2B bookkeeping firm that specializes in working with solopreneurs, small and micro businesses. Janice lives in Mesa with her husband and teenage son. When she's not focused on bookkeeping, she's doing puzzles or walking outdoors. Anything she can do while listening to music. Welcome, Janice.
Hi, welcome. Thank you.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being on here. We love it.
So tell us, Janice, tell us about your accounting journey and how you help solopreneurs, small and micro businesses. And maybe you can share, what is a micro business?
The micro businesses fall into the kind of the solopreneur that maybe needed to hire a few employees, or they're just not very big. So I do come across a lawyer that, instead of going to work for a firm, they freelanced out on their own and started their own law firm. And it's really just them and maybe an assistant or two. So I saw that the solopreneurs, these small mom and pop shops, a lot of professional services, they weren't very big. And it seems that there's a little bit of an entry point in the accounting industry a lot of times for small businesses, like a price point for CPA firms and for bookkeeping firms. And they, in my opinion, charge too much for some of these smaller businesses, or they might charge off of revenue, which I don't really think is fair to charge like a percentage of someone's revenue or a percentage of like what their expenses are. So we don't base our prices on that. We just base it on like the volume, the work, right? The how many transactions someone has or how many bank accounts they have. So we base our pricing on something that's very solid, not something that like you're going to get penalized for growing your business.
Great. And can you share, like, how did you decide to provide that service at a lower price point? Like what happened in your journey that made you see there was this gap or this pain for people that's starting out?
Why did I start my business?
Yeah.
So I went to school for accounting and I did work for small business owners. And then I was lucky enough to work for a CPA firm. It was actually the first work from home position that I ever had. And they had figured out, they were in California, and they had figured out that they could charge clients California prices and outsource their labor. So I was one of the first teams that they had hired in a different area because I was in Arizona. So they were testing their theory of, well, can I pay a lower price but still charge the same? Okay, well, that works. Let me see if I can go to a place that's even cheaper and pay a cheaper price but charge the same. So we were turned into kind of management as I was there on my journey with that CPA firm for several years. And I became a manager of a team that they hired in other states, in other countries, and they continued to charge the same price. And that kind of bothered me. So I saw, I was like, well, why not pass through what you're getting? Like, the best example that I can give is I am a wholesaler of a software for QuickBooks Online. I'm a pro advisor. I can sell it. I get a 30% discount. So that's what they give me. I split the difference and give that to clients. I give them 15% off for life. I pass through that discount to them because I think that's fair. I think that business should be fair. And so I left that firm with the idea that I was going to start a business and help as many small business owners as I could. I didn't really know what that looked like yet. I started out with nonprofits in mind, and I still have a lot of nonprofits. They're dear to my heart, but they don't have a lot of budget. And to specialize in a nonprofit it wasn't really scalable, and they have a lot of reporting requirements. And so I do like to help them. I help them when the small ones come to me and they haven't grown enough to need serious reporting requirements. But so business has morphed in the last 5 years where I've really honed in on the professional services market because I understand that space because I did it. I did the consulting, I did tracking by project, and I understand real estate because you track by house. And so there's certain industries that I've just naturally been drawn to and certain ones that I've stayed away from, like manufacturing and retail, anything with inventory, because QuickBooks actually doesn't, in my opinion, QuickBooks Online doesn't work well with inventory. And so I also realized that I had a good system to handle the volume of clients that you need when you have a small price point. That was something that we were always trying to solve for at the old company, which is like, how do you communicate with so many people all at once when you have so many different people emailing you because you have such a long client list? And so I implemented a service desk system that works really well. I mean, we have over 100 clients that we're able to respond to in, 48 hours. We don't let emails go past certain time because response time is important to small business owners. You don't want to send an email and think, oh, well, that went to a black hole and I haven't heard from them in 2 weeks. That happens a lot, or people get ghosted. So I really looked for a way to solve all the problems I saw at the old firm and solve that problem for small business owners.
Thank you. Thank you for being courageous and stepping out to create a new service for small people. Small people need help.
Yes. And to feel like they're being heard and being educated at the same time and being able to efficiently do their accounting, having the trust in somebody that can do the accounting for them is very, very important. What should listeners think about and put into place if they are thinking about starting a business? So say like Angela and I, we're coaches, right? And Angela has a dance business and we're small. What should we have thought of when we began our coaching and our small business?
The first thing that I tell small business owners is you've got to separate your business and your personal expenses. And even if you, and I do recommend you getting an LLC or you form an actual business, but even if you don't, there are ways that you can still separate business and personal expenses. You can get a separate bank account. You can get a separate credit card. And those are the expenses that you want to keep track of. And that's how you would split that. So that's my first recommendation to anyone, is split your business and your personal expenses. And then no matter how small, I do think that people should get an accounting system. And you can do that for $30 a month. Some people I know can use an accounting system for free, and they are savvy enough to understand what to look for and where to go, and they do just fine. There are other small business owners that I have seen, they set up QuickBooks. It's not as easy as they thought it was going to be, but they don't really say anything. And then 6 months, a year down the road, they have a mess on their hands and they're hiring someone to clean it up. So you also have to be able to gauge your own finance knowledge as well. And if you don't have it, get some support, get some help, because it's out there, affordable. If you do have a small business, I don't think that, you know, $100 or $110 a month to make sure that you're ready for taxes securely at the end of every year, I don't think that's too much of an investment.
And that's really good to hear the price point as well, so people can get a yardstick. So would you say, Janice, that $100, $110 a month, is that sort of yardstick for how much to start thinking about when you're starting out?
That would be how much you would pay starting out with support, I think, at some of the lowest levels, because you have, that's like the lowest level that we offer, which I believe our support is very good. I know that Intuit and some other, I know Bench is another competitor out there. And not that I really wanted to compete with these huge organizations, because I hear horror stories about them as well. But I know our price points are actually pretty comparable to theirs. And so that's entry level. And I believe that's a pretty, it's not like some of the firms where you have $300, $400, $500 a month. That's like their base price. I think this is pretty reasonable. It's almost as much as some of the software's cost out there.
Right. Yeah. So with nonprofits, what is the most important thing to consider when a nonprofit is setting up finances to help sustain them? And maybe you can also share, how do you know if your business is better suited to a nonprofit versus a small business as well?
That's a really great question. The nonprofit reporting is a great question. When you get big enough, which big enough is $50,000 in donations, you do have to start reporting where that money goes. And so it's really important in the beginning to start thinking and keeping track of things, not only on an expense level, which that means utilities and rent and contractors and, you know, advertising. It also means you have to keep things tracked by program or by fundraising or administration. So they want to know where the overhead is, because they want to see, are you paying your salary with a bunch of money versus fundraising activities versus what is actually being spent on your core program. So that's where the programs come into place, and keeping track by program or whatever that core mission is of the nonprofit. And then that feeds into the small business versus nonprofit. Nonprofits need to have a mission, right? A goal that they're striving towards. And then you have to think, are you prepared to never take money out of this organization. That's what a nonprofit is. There is no distributions. All the profit is put back in, or it's budgeted to zero. I see that all the time in a lot of my nonprofits, where every year they budget, and they budget to a zero sum budget. Whatever money they expect to get, that is what they plan to spend, whether that be on fundraising programs or administration. And the bigger you get, the more scrutiny you have on the percentages of the donations that you're getting and where that money is going.
Right. So I was just wondering about, in the process of setting up a business, when, if you're thinking that you're not going to be taking distributions from the nonprofit, have you had experiences where some business owners actually move towards a nonprofit, or do they wait till they grow to a certain amount of income generation and then they create a nonprofit? Is that something you've seen as well?
I actually haven't seen anyone switch. I've always seen that people have started out with it, or they might have in tandem. So they have started, I've seen this several times, where they started a LLC, maybe a consulting business or something that is income generating based on services provided. And then alongside that, they have a nonprofit where they're accepting donations, but the two kind of tie. And a great example is Missionary. She has a consulting firm where she meets and counsels pastors, but she also has a nonprofit that is a missionary that goes to Africa once a year, and she raises money for that, and that's all it gets spent on. So depending on what your nonprofit model is, she's in the same circle, and she gets donations by working with churches, and she gets pastors by going on missionaries. And so it works very well for both of her organizations.
Awesome.
What are some things that a business owner should do throughout the year to prepare for tax season and help ease the stress of getting their taxes done?
Other than hire a bookkeeper and have them do it, here are some great things that I see every year, even with me being behind my small business owners. Look out for 1099s. So if you are paying people over $600 a year, people don't understand that it's not just like the landscaper that is, you know, coming and they are going by their social security number. It is also businesses. So it doesn't matter if it is a repair and maintenance AC person that is coming to your office. It doesn't matter if it's your bookkeeper. It doesn't matter if it's your landscaper that was working on your rental. You are supposed to get a W-9 from people to determine whether or not you have to send them a 1099 at the end of the year. The only exemptions are when you pay with a credit card, or if they are truly a corporation like Comcast or Cox, like, you know for a fact that they're a corporation. Otherwise, you're really supposed to get a W-9. We scramble every year. And that's mainly because I tell the small business owners to get W-9s, but then comes tax time, 1099s are ready to be filed, and I'm missing pertinent information from vendors that have been paid throughout the year. So that happens every year. The uncategorized expenses, or the ask my accountant, if you are doing your own books, make sure that gets cleared out. Make sure that you're not filing taxes with things that are in buckets of money that could potentially just be completely missed, like uncategorized income, uncategorized expenses, undeposited funds, things that stick out on your financials that are negative if you are doing your own books. So I have seen a lot of things that way when I get stuff from small business owners. And then if you do have a bookkeeper, make sure they are sending you financials on a monthly basis, or at least a quarterly basis, so that you know they're doing their job and they haven't gotten behind, or they didn't ghost you, because I have seen that happen, and they just go AWOL and tax season comes by and nothing's been done. So make sure that you're getting regular updates and you know what you're paying for. That's another thing I see with people paying bookkeepers, is they're just paying and they don't really know what it is that they're paying for, what the bookkeeper is doing, right? And so ask those questions, and what is the scope? What am I paying for? And I've had people do that, and bookkeepers just be like, well, I quit, rather than answer the question of what it is that they're doing every month. That would be my best advice for kind of keeping up with that year round.
Thanks for that, Janice. Yes, like, if a person that you're paying money to can't answer, what am I paying for? It's a bit scary. This question goes to, because there's a lot of bookkeeping apps. I'm in Australia as well, so we have a different tax system, and we have some apps now that are coming out different for different tax systems. So it's completely different to some of the requirements for the USA tax system. But what are the benefits of having a human being like yourself helping a business owner versus, say, being a business owner using a bookkeeping app by yourself?
I think the biggest is understanding financials. No matter what the app is, you're still going to have it ask questions, unless they just funnel everything to income and expenses. And then maybe I would say that would be worth something looking at. But every app that I've seen so far, it mirrors financial statements, right? You always have a profit and loss, which is your income statement that shows income and expenses. But then you also have this section that is called your balance sheet. And the balance sheet contains things like your bank accounts and fixed assets and owner's draw. And what I've found is that people who didn't go to school for accounting, or at least go and take some classes or try to understand financial statements, they don't understand what it means to book something to a computer expense versus a fixed asset equipment. And so you bought a computer for $1,500. You're not sure where to book that. Is it an expense or is it an asset? And a lot of times with tax accounting here in the US, it is just income and expense. And so when people file their taxes, if they have said, oh, well, I spent $1,500 on a computer, that's a fixed asset, because in my mind, that's an asset. I'm going to have it for 5 years. It's an asset. Well, when you run the profit and loss, that computer's not there. So when you file your taxes, that computer's not there. And there's other scenarios I've seen where, because someone didn't understand accounting, they were making a payment to their credit card, and then every time it came in, they were like, well, that's a liability. So they booked it to the liability account. Cool. All right. Well, their liability account grew negative and negative and negative because the credit card expenses were not there, which meant 2 years down the line, she had $20,000 of deductions she hadn't claimed. And we went back and forth with that many times before I was like, that's what it's deductions. You missed these tax deductions. And it finally dawned on her, and she says, oh, I understand. And it's just simply because she was doing what the app told her to do, which is book the credit card payment to the credit card account, which is correct, but you also have to have the corresponding expenses. So I think the knowledge is still needed to make sure that you aren't missing things as a small business owner.
So here's the next question that we normally always ask all of our special guests. How can your business build better relationships with accounting and the tax preparers? So how do you build better relationships with taxes and be prepared, and also with the person that is doing your taxes?
That's a great question. So I'll start with the tax preparer themselves. I have some really great referral partners out there that do taxes, and we work so well together every year. And if you can find a bookkeeping firm or a bookkeeper that has that relationship, it works really well because then the small business owner gets kind of left out of the situation. And those two individuals take over and they don't have to really do anything but answer questions every year. And so if you are a bookkeeper and you want to have better relationships with a tax preparer, I know this sounds simple, but do a good job. Make sure that the books are clean. Make sure that things are reconciled and payroll reports match. There's a lot of things that you can do as a bookkeeper to make sure that when your tax accountant gets things, they don't have questions. And that really does help, makes their life so much easier. And then from a small business standpoint, the best thing I can say as a small business owner is don't procrastinate. We all know that it's something that isn't going to burn down if you don't get to it. But the longer you put it off, the more it is to get caught up. It makes your life harder. And then this is what I've found, is it causes stress because clarity and peace of mind leads to being stress-free. So if you don't know where your money is going and you're like constantly thinking, well, I'm not really sure and I don't know, knowing where your money goes is like one of the most freeing things I can give to people. And it makes me feel good when I can go in there and see where my money is going too. So I know what that feels like. That's my best advice. Don't procrastinate.
I love that. Knowing where your money goes gives you peace of mind. So Janice, how can our listeners find you and contact you about your services?
I am on my website, so that's the best place, which is www.yameconsulting.com. And you can learn about me. I have a video on there. I'm very transparent with pricing, so it's all there as far as the packages, what I charge, where the fixed pricing kind of phases out, and we have to get on a call if you have more questions. But then on the website, you can also get funneled to a couple places. One is a questionnaire that asks you all about your business and gives you an idea of how much you would get charged if you wanted to partner with us for services. And then there's another place that you can go for a call with me, and I'll get on. And a lot of times I'm really just helping people understand what it is that they need. Maybe they don't need a bookkeeper yet. Maybe they just need a software. Maybe they need a CPA to be able to file taxes. So we get on and I ask them questions and we get to know each other. I get to know their business. And then I go from there on what I would recommend for them. The best partnership that I've found is to have an affordable bookkeeper, an accounting software, and then have a CPA to file your taxes. I think that's the best combination for a small business owner.
Thank you. And Janice, is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners?
That last piece was it, which is the best combination, I think, is a CPA and a affordable bookkeeper. And I will just expand on that one small piece. So before I started my business, the old firm that I worked for, one of the things we specialized in was segregation of duties. And you see a lot of things out there. So one thing that I like about the affordable bookkeeper model along with a CPA is try not to have them be in the same firm. And then that way you have two different people looking at your finances. One to make sure that nothing is going funny with your bookkeeper, and your bookkeeper is there to make sure that your tax accountant is on top of things and reaching out and making sure that you're getting the tax strategy and things that you need. And then the bookkeeper also sees all these other CPA firms and can help you kind of compare pricing and know that you're getting the best deal and vice versa. So having both people on your team really helps a small business owner, I think.
Well, thank you, Janine, for sharing all this wonderful information for us and the listeners. And to the listeners, thank you so much for listening. Please share this podcast with others and check out Janice's services and products. We will have Janice's contact information in the show notes.
Thank you for listening to Building Better Relationships with Angela and Patty. Send us a message and please like or share the podcast or donate with the Anchor Donate button. We really value your feedback.